The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Wilson at KGLA Algona and Dale Wagner at the Sac Sun. Brian, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
All right. Thank you very much, Senator. I guess you talked a little bit last week about the prescription package that's involved with the Build Back Better plan and how you didn't like that. You preferred that your prescription package be passed. Can you maybe talk about the differences and what you'd like, you know, what you would like to see from your plan as opposed to the one that's the Build Back Better plan?
Well, some of it is similar to my bill, but darn little of it that I'm going to willing to say that I'm even got a partial victory. But one very negative about it, and then I'll get into something that's positive, and then I'll get in what they left out. So three things. One, they call it negotiating prices. Government doesn't negotiate prices, it dictates prices. So it's going to affect the resources of pharmaceutical companies to do research and development for these, the new drugs you're getting all the time. There's an adjective I can't think of. Okay, so if you want to develop more drugs, miracle drugs, like we're getting all the time for the last 30 or 40 years, you got to have resources to do it. And the government dictating prices is going to cut that back. And that's not only my saying it. I think CBO's made that same judgment. Secondly, what I do like about it, it does have the one part that I talk about most in my bill, year over year increases in the price of drugs limited to the CPI. But what it doesn't have is what I'm trying to do to help the local pharmacists, the pharmacists in Algona, that gets a bill at the end of the year. They sign a contract at the beginning of the year, and if they don't quite deliver on that, they get you got to pay the pharmaceutical benefit managers, the PBMs, back X number of dollars, and sometimes it's an outrageous thousands of dollars have to be paid back. We do it so the local pharmacist doesn't have to do that. Another thing is, there's just a myriad of these things that I'm going to just say in a couple sentences. I had tremendous reforms in my Grassley-Wyden bill that would change and help senior citizens with reforms in Part D of Medicare, and they don't have any of those reforms in there. And I guess maybe one of those reforms would be what I told you about the pharmacy benefit managers not squeezing money out of local pharmacists at the end of the year. Dale.
Yes, Senator, thank you. Congress seems to be continually dealing with the debt limit problem every so many months or so it happens again. What's the long-term answer to dealing with this situation?
It's a bill that I co-sponsor with Portman, and I can't tell you for sure. I assume it's in again this year, but don't hold me to that. But several of the last Congresses, I've co-sponsored a bill with Portman that says that when you come to the end of the fiscal year, if Congress hasn't extended the debt ceiling or the authority to spend, you just continue spending where you've spent. Now, I got to back up. You asked about the debt ceiling, didn't you? And I'm answering just for the expenditure of money. So for you kind of forget what I said, but I think that's an important thing to make sure that when you get to the end of the fiscal year, you don't shut down government. You let government go on even though Congress hasn't enacted a continuing resolution or a new spending bill. Now, in regard to the debt limit, which is your question, and I'm sorry I took your time to start out on something different. Before World War I, Congress would every so often pass legislation giving the authority to spend more money. So then World War I, they got tired of doing that, and I suppose they had to do it more often. We're in the process we're doing now. You set a total limit, not saying you can borrow money to spend it over here. Borrow money and just spend it through the normal appropriation process. And the only way that I know to stop that is to go back to what Congress did before World War I, and that would be when you run out of money and you want to spend another $100 billion on highways, you just appropriate or you borrow $100 billion to spend on highways. Like that was a specific way they did it before World War I. Brian.
Last week, the Senate passed one of your bills that you introduced earlier this year dealing with opioid problems in rural America. I guess maybe you can talk about that and what it will do for Iowans that do struggle with opioid problems.
Yeah. Well, first of all, remember probably going back to 2015 or 16, I imagine we passed two or three bills dealing with the opioid problem. This one deals more specifically with problems in rural America. And it basically deals with prevention, enforcement, treatment, and things of that nature, and would deal with it through either local governments or nonprofits that have expertise in treating drug abuse. But it's the tackle in rural America that sometimes gets lost out on things in the Congress of the United States and would focus in on areas that have acute problems, more so than just generally throughout rural America. Because I'm sure in West Virginia, they have more of a problem than we do in Iowa, even though we have a problem in Iowa. But we kind of use a shotgun, instead of using a shotgun approach, you use a rifle approach to areas that have the most problems. Okay, Dale?
Yes, Senator. What's your concern on the Russia-Ukraine situation and whether the U.S. should get more deeply involved?
I think the United States should get more deeply involved, but not with troops on the ground. Two ways. One, working with other countries, and the president's already started to do this, at least with five other countries, to impose more extreme sanctions on Russia than ever had before, and then to make sure that the government or our countries, including NATO, make sure that massive amounts of military equipment gets there so that they can defend themselves. Okay, Brian?
Yes, Senator, we're coming up on the holidays here, I guess. What's the schedule like in Washington, D.C.? I guess when are you guys around? When do you come home? And what's on your agenda now? What are you working on now?
The rumor is, and this comes from a chief of staff's meeting that happens every Monday, that we'll get done by Friday until sometime early January. And we don't have the new calendar for next year yet from the two leaders, although I think Schumer's going to drive it most because he's the majority leader. Anyway, with one unknown, and that unknown is whether or not Manchin being at the White House today would agree to go along with something that you call Build Back Better. But everything he said, it'd be pretty minuscule compared to the five entitlement programs that they have in Build Back Better passing the House of Representatives, and with a lot of things not in it that was in that bill, like legalizing illegal immigrants as an example, then I think that's the exception. Then to finish the defense bill, to the one final step to increase the debt limit, and then a whole bunch of nominations that are on the calendar that probably Republicans, instead of normally requiring, just like the Democrats did of us when we were in the majority, requiring two votes on every nominee to come up, we'd probably agree to a whole bunch of nominees and get them done by voice vote. And the reason for that to be something that Democrats really want to accomplish, and it might be an incentive to make a compromise to get out of here this week, is because nominations that are on the calendar at the end of the year go back to the White House and have to start over again. Dale, you'll have the last question.
Yes, Senator, last week you and Senator Ernst sent a letter to Secretary Vilsack about the Rural Connectivity Pilot Program. Internet within the rural area is still struggling. What's going to be the end game here?
Okay. I got to divide everything dealing with broadband into three things, and the agriculture programs is part of it. I guess I got to divide it into five things, or four. Number one, don't forget, Iowa's put up $100 million a year for the next 5 years to help with broadband. Number two, for years and years, FCC has had money. FCC has had money to help in rural areas. And then the USDA is another one that had money in rural areas to help. And that's what we were concerned about when we wrote to them. And then the bill that the president signed, we call the infrastructure bill, there's $65 billion in that over the next 7 or 8 years to help broadband. So since USDA delivers rural broadband across to Iowa, there's new rules for the Reconnect program hurting rural telecom companies. We're trying to get, and also it includes net neutrality, which brings a whole bunch of new regulations into it. When they put these two things together, it's going to make it very difficult for telecom, these rural telephone companies in Iowa, who have done such a good job, but in not enough areas because there hasn't been enough money. But when they do it, they do such a good job, they're going to be left out of it. So this score that's been set up by Vilsack is going to make it very difficult for these rural telephone companies that have done such a good job. We've asked him to reverse his opinion on that and correct that. So I went a little more broadly than just your question. Okay, thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Senator.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you, Brian and Dale, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.